Tech Webcast is sponsored by Venturi Web Development and Promotion, passionately helping small business succeed online. Is your website in need of an upgrade? Do you need help with social media and the promotion of your business? Venturative can help develop and implement a strategy that is best suited to your business. Promotional packages are also available. So contact Venturative today for your free quote. And we thank Venturative for supporting Tech Webcast. Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8.
Beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.
Welcome to the Tech Webcast podcast episode
453, recorded on 2nd of December 2017.
Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/TechWebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app and download the Android app. Support us on Patreon and patreon.com/TechWebcast.
Awesome intro, guys. Yay. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, it's great
to
have
our much.
Great to have our guests doing the intro. It gives me a break today.
Yes. How's your week been, Daryl?
It's been good. I'll just put out that our hosts today are Aldwin, Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl. And our special guest is Ronald Wall and family, who did a terrific job in doing the intro with very little practice, not very little rehearsal. So they did a great job. It's been a good week. We're surviving the torrential downpour of biblical proportions that happened here last night. And so most of the northeast of Victoria is sort of drying out after a lot of rain fell.
Yep, definitely. It's not good, is it?
No, there's a bit of – some of the rivers have burst their banks, and a few of the downstream areas are sort of – got a sandbagging and various other things. So hopefully we won't get too much more rain today things can start to dry out a bit. But, yeah, I think we had more than, more than probably a couple of months of rain in one night.
Yeah, definitely. All right, good to have you back on the podcast, Daryl.
Cool,
let's go to Aldwin. Good to have Aldwin back
on. Hey, guys.
Aldwyn?
Hello, hello. I'm great, thank you. I'm actually in Sydney at the moment. I survived 5 weeks in America. It was an amazing trip. Absolutely love America. And my whole trip took me from LA to San Diego to Vegas to Hawaii and back to LA. It was an awesome trip. And now I'm in Sydney doing a program with Ben Harvey from Authentic Education, who we have chatted to before, and we're doing an Inspire to Buy course. And they're talking about, you know, a lot of people have selling as a bit of a dirty word and they think of con artists, etc. But what Ben is teaching you is that selling is actually healing people. You're actually helping people when you sell things that people need. And it's all about finding a match for what someone is looking for when you go to sell something. And if it's not a match, then don't sell it. Otherwise, you become a con artist. So that's a very big learning. And I also went to a JT Fox event yesterday in Sydney, and he's the guy who I saw in America. So in LA, I had the great fortune to see people like Charlie Sheen and Mark Wahlberg and Mel Gibson. And so it's just unbelievable. John Travolta, all these amazing celebrities, about 16 of them on stage in LA. And you got to see just how much celebrities are just like you and I. The main difference is that they love what they do, and they've been doing it for a while and become very good at it. And I think that's a big thing we can take away is love what you do. And no doubt our guest loves what he does, and I'm looking forward to chatting with Ron. And it's life is good. So good to be back, guys.
Good to have you back on. Let's go to Jacob real quick. How's your week been, Jacob? Anything exciting happen, mate?
Let's just say I've been cleaning house.
Right, okay. You're not married, are you?
No, but I could be married to my computer.
Mate, I said this to you 1,000 times, move to the Mac.
I've already got it fixed.
Okay, that's good. All right, good stuff, Jake. Let's have a chat with Ron. Good to have you on the podcast, Ron.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And you do a YouTube channel called Ronnie's...
Record room.
That's it. And we got Woofie on. Welcome, Woofie, to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, mate. So tell us about the channel.
Well, the channel is something that I just kind of started doing a video for. Me and Woofie did an introduction with like 20 questions to kind of introduce ourselves. And from there it was all downhill, right? So I basically talk about records, talk about
tapes, CDs, 8-tracks.
Yeah. Anything music, you know, and once in a while I'll talk about different things that impact our lives too.
Yeah, definitely. I do hear cassettes are coming back in a big way. I just read a story here in Australia here. Cassettes are coming back in a big way. Hey, Daryl, did you see that story?
Yeah, I read that. I'm still yet to be convinced as to why, but you know, because I always found cassettes in the day to be frustrating because you tend to, you know, your favourite track would get eaten up by the cassette recorder, or as someone said the other night, you have to have a pencil with you because you have to rewind the tape back into the cassette at times when it gets a bit stretched or whatever. But yeah, it surprised me. I thought cassettes were done and dusted, you know, completely. I thought vinyl, I understood sort of vinyl, why vinyl's sort of coming back a bit, but I thought tapes were, that was it. But no, they're back.
I'm back. I see cassettes all the time in shops, in record shops and stuff, and it's unbelievable.
Hey, I can even say this.
Go ahead, Jay.
They're even bringing back the original tape players as well.
Oh. Oh, yeah, the big spooled, the big ones.
No, the
cassette the decks.
Little, oh, cassette actual, decks, yep.
Where you put cassettes in.
Yep.
Yeah, I was watching YouTube a while back. They were actually showing a few that they actually redid. Sony did them.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, cassettes are, you know, cassettes are one of those things that they can sound phenomenal if you have a good tape recorder or player. But if you don't and they're just a low quality tape to begin with, they just sound horrible. You know,
yeah, exactly.
So some of the new ones I've heard nowadays that are done on the just the cheap Type 1 tapes, they still don't sound very good, you know? The channels go in and out, and they warble a bit. But if you've got – I've got tapes in here that I broke out that I've had in a box for probably 15 to 20 years almost, and I broke them out. And some of them are just – they're sounding phenomenal, you know, but they're also good chrome tapes, you know, and not the cheaper ones. And I'm playing them through a better deck, you know. Was that Jacob was talking about, he saw that Sony and some of the guys are still producing tape decks. Well, I'll tell you, most of the tape decks you see out there are pretty cheap, and they're not that good. To get a good tape deck, you basically have to
get the old ones.
Yeah, hunt around bargain stores, Goodwill and stuff, or you can buy refurbished ones online too.
Remember when tapes used to get sucked into the machines and you'd have to pull them out really delicately to make sure you didn't rip the tape?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that goes back to just, you know, I had that problem when I was, you know, a kid or in the 80s or what have you. I didn't realize that you had to maintain your equipment, you know. I didn't know what that meant to make sure things were working right and, you know, the only time I really got my tapes tore up were in like Walkmans and a cheap tape player that I probably shouldn't have been playing it in the first place, you know?
Yes, I remember when Walkman were really big. I remember when they first came out and it was all the rage. Gosh, our times have changed now with the little iPods, et cetera.
Yeah, I've actually got one of them Sony Walkmans. I actually bought one off eBay.
Okay.
Sweet. Yeah.
And when they went from tape to CD, remember that?
Yep, yep. That, yeah, yeah.
But you used to, you know, I had a JVC tape deck, and you used to have, and what we used to do to protect our prize recording is we would buy some really high quality blank tapes like TDK and that at the time, and you'd record your favorite. You know, CD, like your favorite cassette onto the blank, put your favorite cassette away, and just play the blank recording until it wore out. Because yeah, you quite easily, and yeah, you had to look after the spools of your tape player and all that sort of stuff. And I guess it was a bit of a lost art once CDs came around and stuff. People sort of forgot about that, and now it's having to be reinvented a bit because yeah, you can easily chew up a tape either on a cheap tape player or you haven't maintained your own tape player and suddenly you find it's just full of tape or wound around the spools or broken or stretched.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Me and Brad were looking on Amazon, they were showing these like cheap MP3 recording tape players. They look like
I think you need a good if you're after a good cassette deck, you need to go to a secondhand place or wherever you buy your records or whatever. You know, a good vintage cassette player.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, if tapes take off again in a bigger way, then some companies might come out and produce a bit more high quality gear. But at the moment, I guess they're just rushing out to try and capture the market a bit, and they're just bringing out cheaper ones because I just thought when I saw the write up, I'm thinking, well, where would you get a tape player? Because I haven't seen one in so long, but obviously some cheaper ones are out there at the moment.
Yeah, they are, and I also recommend an equalizer too if you want to improve the quality too. Have you got one run on when you play cassettes?
So I run everything through an Onkyo. It's a pretty modern receiver, but I run everything flat. I run it no boost, no gain in treble or bass or nothing.
We haven't done floppy disks because we don't have any yet.
Okay. So so I like my records, you know, I don't want to boost any bass or treble or nothing. I want it to be the sound that it is. And yeah, you know, equalizers have their place, but I think if your equipment is set up properly, you don't really need one.
Yeah, true. I've found it way better because Matt Hayes, I've got this tip from Matt Hayes, by the way, he's into cassettes and stuff. And he has an equalizer, and he recommended getting one if you're going to get into cassettes. And I found it when I hooked it up. It was sounded awesome.
Yeah, I could hear that. I could see that.
I guess it's personal choice. It's sort of like, you know, you're saying, Ronald, that, you know, you don't like, you know, boosting the bass and boosting things. And, you know, some people like the more natural, if you like, what the recording was like when it was recorded. And others, particularly depending on the bands and stuff you're listening to, some people like to, you know, ramp up the bass. You know, we used to do it as kids, you know, the heavy metal stuff. You know, you could never get enough bass. And, of course, probably in hindsight wasn't the best sound we ever had, but we were just happy to have the speakers thumping out these basses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, what's crazy is this last year or so when I've had a sub hooked up, we didn't have subwoofers when we were growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know that? Nobody knew what a subwoofer was. And now I put on these old Zeppelin and all these awesome albums, Pink Floyd and everything, and I'm hearing low end, and I'm hearing stuff off a record that there's no way I ever knew these frequencies were there. It's pretty killer.
All right. Any questions, Jacob, for Ron?
Well, I was answering you guys. I was saying what I would listen to when I was a little guy is Sting.
Oh.
AKA the good stuff. And here my questions now. What was your first Sting. What was your first
Sorry.
Album?
What was my first what?
Album on any
Oh my first So my first record was either Down by the Creek or The Music Machine.
My first record was the original Rocky album.
My first record was Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Golden vinyl.
And it was golden vinyl.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so my first records were basically kids' records from the 70s.
My dad showed me the newest Rocky movie, and then we watched through them, and then I was into Rocky, so I got the record.
Yep, that was his first one.
Good stuff. Jacob, any more questions?
When did you start collecting vinyl?
Well, collecting vinyl would be kind of, I don't know how to define that, because I've bought records ever since I was a kid, right? Well, my first record I really bought myself, I was probably 12 years old. But, you know, so since the early 80s, I've had records and I've bought them. So I probably had 60 or 70 records. And then probably most of the 90s and the early 2000s, I didn't buy many records at all until, you know, a few years ago, started ramping up on buying records again when I plopped one on and I was like, oh man, I miss this so much. And then I got the bug back.
And I started collecting records when I was 6, 7.
Seven.
Six, seven.
Okay.
Six or seven.
What's in the music do you get into, Wolfie? Who's your favorite band? Or should I say, who's your favorite band?
He's thinking really hard right now.
Okay. What about you, Ron?
I would say Apologetics.
Okay.
Or Final. Vinyl or just music?
Vinyl.
You don't know?
Metallica.
So,
Metallica?
So, I have a couple really favorite bands. What probably my favorite rock-ish band is Petra.
Petra.
And then my favorite like metal band would probably be Stryper.
Okay. Awesome. Darryl, what about you? Have you got any questions?
Yeah, so you sort of, it wasn't like, I know we've had other people who have talked about vinyl, and they've sort of, you know, started sort of like a collection in more recent times. So you sort of course, grew up while vinyl was still, you know, around. So it's just been like a gradual process. So what do you find with vinyl that attracts you than to say more than say either CD music or you know, streaming music?
Well, I think, well, streaming music, that doesn't, I have no intuition. I don't want to listen to streaming music at all. I was just listening to some this afternoon, and I, you know, with it breaking up and everything, I hate that. But so vinyl, why do I listen to vinyl over like CDs and stuff?
They sound way better.
Well, I really like the warmth and the textures in it. I like the fact that it's an analog sound, and the dynamics in the sound just they're incredible. It's really hard to match that with a CD, and I've tried to compare my CDs back and forth with some of my records, and it just has a different sound and a different feel. And even if there's some pops and clicks in some of my not so good records, it still beats trying to listen to something so sterile, you know.
Unless if you only have the CD and not the record.
Yeah,
there, you can only get it on CD.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I listen to and it's only on CD, so then I have to listen to CDs.
True. So what I do is I buy the CD if I like it. If I buy the CD or stream it, then I would buy it on vinyl if I like it. You know what I mean? I don't want to waste money on vinyl and not play it.
Oh yeah. A lot of bands that I don't really know, I'll go on to YouTube and I'll check them out and see if I like them or not. But you know, most of my music, yeah, I buy the CDs. I really haven't bought a lot of CDs lately. Most of the CDs I buy lately are, some of them that I can't afford. I buy CDs of vinyls that I cannot afford to buy the records, right? And then new releases that come out or remastered releases like the Fear Not release that just came out, right? There's two new songs that they put out, and you could only get them on the CD. They didn't come on the record. So, yeah. So I buy the CD and the record, right?
And then you bought a poster that's not folded in the package.
Yep. So did I answer your question? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. Good answer, Ron. Good answer.
So do you cover art? Brad, cover art. Are you a sort of a big fan of? Because I know some others, Vomit love the fact that with records, you know, you've got the great cover art. Whereas, you know, CDs, of course, it was much smaller, and of course, you don't have cover art really with streaming music. But so you're a big cover art fan?
Oh yeah, I love cover art. You know, when you're looking at bands that just do some phenomenal record covers and stuff, you know. But it's just having it bigger and in a bigger form really is cool. Being able to sit there and read through the lyrics and read through the history of whatever the band puts in their inner liners, you know, it's pretty interesting sometimes. And with CDs, if it is in there, it's so small and just kind of get tired of reading small print sometimes, you know.
One time I just got a record because I liked the front cover because it was Christmassy and it had a church on it, and it had good music on it.
Yep. Yeah, I bought a few records that I really liked the cover art on, and they're blind buys. I didn't even know what was on the record. I was like, dude, I love this cover. I got to get it. ends up being a good band, you know, or maybe not a good band, but a cool looking cover, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And what are the prices like over there to buy new records over there, Ron? Is secondhand better for you, or do you buy them new? Or,
well, I try to buy them secondhand when I can, right? So if I'm shopping at like a secondhand store, they can range from about $1 to, man, whatever. We have secondhand stores here called Goodwill. I don't know if you guys heard of those.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you something now. I've had no luck at any of them places over here. You can ask Jacob. Ask Jacob. So,
ask me, because he showed me on FaceTime video. Yeah, most of the records that they have there are they look good on the outside, but if you take them out, they're like,
yeah, but Jacob, they weren't the places we go to, mate. They don't have the ones what we're after. Like, for example, I was after Diet Straits, Brother in Arms. I called around yesterday to hunt down that record. I cannot get it anywhere. Only place I can get it on is Discogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. Sorry.
Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, you know, if you enter my contest, you could try to win that sealed copy I have.
What, you have it, do you?
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay.
So I'm running a contest on my channel right now called Just One More.
Okay. Yep.
So if you enter that and you win, you can get the Dire Straits that I'm giving away.
There you go, Jacob.
Hey.
How do you put together your shows? What kind of technology do you use, and how do you prepare your shows?
Oh man, now I'm just using a webcam on my computer, and right now my computer's throwing fits. I may not be doing any for a little while, but I just have an HD webcam, and
can you do it on the
TV? Really. So I've also used my phone too, but
doesn't have as good graphics.
Yeah, the quality isn't as good on my phone, and you know, it's not as stable. Doesn't have as good sound, so yeah, right now I'm just using a computer and a webcam. I'd like to get a good a DSLR or something someday, but that's in the future.
Well, I use webcam, and I use the Google Hangouts on air for my shows. So what platform do you use, what app or whatever, to actually do the recording?
I use the camera app on Windows 10.
Okay. And it's probably all your age, you know. I mean, it doesn't need to be quasi high quality, I think.
No, it does it in 1080, you know, and
it does work really well when it's acting nice.
Yeah, when it's playing nice.
Because one time it was just super glitchy.
Yeah, it was. The sound and the video weren't lining up, were they?
Okay. I'm using and unmuting myself, because you can probably hear in the background there's a pianist at the Swiss Hotel here in Sydney. There's a pianist that's got a high tea going on and lunch things, and so you'll hear a little bit of music when I speak, and I'll mute myself, so we'll bring a bit of music into the podcast. So thanks for that. That's great. And what about marketing, Ron? How do you market your show?
I don't. I just get on there and myself. And if people want to see me, cool. If they don't, then they don't, right?
I've actually shared a couple of your videos, Ron, on my blog.
Oh, have you?
I have, yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's
some
marketing.
I shared people
the Metallica unboxings videos.
Oh, yeah.
Good video.
actually one of those videos I have a ton of shares on, and like almost 3,000 people have actually viewed that. So I'm surprised.
Awesome. Do you awesome. Hashtag your videos?
Excuse me?
Do you hashtag your videos? Do you put hashtags to help people find you better?
I don't. Can you hashtag on YouTube?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, in the description.
You just put tags in.
Okay. Yes, I do. I do. I usually put those for the subject matter and things. Yes, I do. So I'm right.
Okay. Well, there's three ways already, or a few ways there already, that you're marketing. I mean, being on this podcast is a form of marketing. Brad sharing your videos, you know, any social media marketing and hashtags, they're all ways people can find you. So, yeah. And then I guess it just grows organically, but you're obviously not doing any paid advertising as such by the sound of it. You're kind of organically growing your show.
Oh, yeah. And I guess a lot of it is just interacting with other people's videos too. You comment and you chat about what they're talking about, and you make friendships that way, right? And some of the guys we've exchanged, you know, phone numbers and addresses, and you know, we've actually become pretty good friends. But yeah, I mean, just going out to market what I'm doing to get more people to watch it, yeah, I don't really consciously do that.
Yeah, got it. And what sort of phone do you use?
What's on a phone?
Yeah.
I use a Windows phone.
Oh. It's a okay. So it's a Android. It's not a Mac, Apple.
No, it's not Android or Apple. It's Windows, Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft. Okay.
Microsoft, yeah. Yeah, Microsoft.
Okay, well there you go. And your computer, what sort of computer you use?
I use a Dell.
Okay. Are you happy with your Dell?
Well, right now I'm not.
No, in general. No, yeah, it's playing up.
The last few days, it's been giving me fits.
Yeah, technology is great when it works.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, keep up the good work with your shows. That's awesome. And I can see you've got a very healthy beard on you. Now, people listening to this probably won't see your great beard, but that must have taken a long time to grow that, Ron.
Yeah. You know, it probably took most of a year and a half to 2 years to get it where it's at.
It's very impressive. Once in a while to get it more growing.
Yeah, it gets trimmed once in a while.
I think it's longer than the hair on my head, actually, Ron. I think your facial hair.
Well, I think that's one of the only places I can grow hair anymore, right? God gave me a haircut on top.
Oh, very good, very good. Awesome. Okay, well, I'll hand it. Anyone else got questions here? What about Jacob? We haven't heard from you for a little while. Any other questions?
I have a comment.
Oh, yeah.
Comment.
Just don't have Edward Scissorhands coming looking for you.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, he's got if he wants to meet me in an alley, I'll see if he can handle me.
You'll wrap your beard around him like a lasso.
I'll take him out.
Awesome. I saw Gene Simmons from Kiss in LA. Gene's now how's Kiss been going with their vinyl? Gene Simmons is an absolute legend when it comes to marketing. And
yes,
he's an absolute
is.
Institution. He's unbelievable. And that tongue really is very long. but, you know, how's the Kiss records? Are they still as popular as ever, would you say?
Oh, yeah. And if not more. In fact, you're talking about marketing. They've basically reissued all of their records again. And all their remasters are just phenomenal. In fact, some of the older remasters I have, or the remasters some of their older albums I have, are so much better than the originals. You know, so I would almost like to buy, I want to collect all the new remasters more than I want to collect some of the older Kiss albums nowadays, because they just sound really great.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, Gene's mind-blowing when you look at how much he does, and, you know, he's just unbelievable. So, yeah, to see him on stage in LA recently was mind-blowing. He was actually being interviewed on stage, so I sort of got a bit of insight. And it's interesting because he's from a Jewish background, and I think he had some persecution in his background, and his I think his mum or something went through the Holocaust. So he's got some very interesting heritage to him, and, you know, young Jewish boy in America. I think he grew up in LA, and, you know, he's done amazingly for himself. So, and he talks about the importance of, you know, being, you know, I guess being confident in what you do, and that, you know, he is his brand, and, you know, really marketing yourself as a unique person, because we're all very unique, right? And that's something that he's really celebrated and, you know, created with, you know, with the outfits and the makeup and all of that Kiss does. He's created, you know, something really unique there, and really celebrated, you know, celebrated his uniqueness. And I think that's really cool. So I think, you know, that's probably one thing we love about music, so many good artists out there, and, you know, to be able to see the visual impact of their work with the I love the visual impact of vinyl records. You know, I love to be able to see that. I love when you have the pullouts that have all the lyrics there that you can just follow along as well, you know. So there's something really nice about that creative expression that you just don't get when you download a song off iTunes, you know.
Exactly. I've got a question for you, Audwin. What was that band's name that you went to a long time ago? That ska band, what was that?
The ska band. When I grew up in Sydney, I lived next door to the keyboard player from a band called The Leftovers. Leftovers put out, yeah.
I actually seen a brand new record of them the other day. I was going to grab it. I was like,
really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. There you go. Well, I didn't know that was still going. Yeah. So, unless it's a different band called The Leftovers.
Is it like a reggae sort of ska band? Reggae,
yeah, it's like, yeah, it. Reggae, ska, punk sort of thing. But actually, I think they did two EPs and a record, so maybe that's the record they did ages ago. I'm not sure, but they were awesome. They used to jam next door to me where I grew up in Sydney, and I was a big Madonna fan back then when I was about 8, and they used to sit on the balcony and shave each other's heads and, you know, have lots of wild parties, and then a few of them I heard died after that very quickly, and I think they were all on drugs and things, but you know, the music was great. They had this great song called the Lemonade Song, and Yay Owl was another one. They had some awesome songs.
Yeah.
And I guess with party bands like that, you know, it's a matter of you know, keeping healthy while you're taking the drugs, I guess, and the drugs can kill, of course, and I think they did kill a few of them, unfortunately, with a wild party lifestyle. However, they did create some magic in the time that they were together, and some beautiful mm-hmm. songs. So yeah, if you look up The Leftovers, they are actually on YouTube, I believe. You can hear some of their songs, The Leftovers. So yeah, check it out.
All right, we'll do. I have to go back and get that record one day if it's still there.
So, good stuff, Audwin.
Talking of ska bands, sorry, just on point, talking of ska bands, you know, Madness is awesome. I still love Madness. Still hear some Madness songs from time to time, and it's absolute classic music, you know. It's timeless.
I've got about 3 records of them on vinyl. It's awesome.
Yeah, nice. Good. Good choice. Got nice taste. I like your taste, Brad. Very good.
Darryl, what did you want
to do? No, just saying, two things that was interesting musically was this week was the funeral. Was firstly the funeral, was a bit of a sad, the funeral from Malcolm Young from, of course, AC/DC. Yes. And, of course, you know, the Young family, because they were immigrants from Britain that came to Australia in the 60s, they had a huge influence on Australian movie. And, of course, they just had the mini series on the ABC on the Easy Beats, which was the generation before, where Malcolm's brother George Young was one of the Easy Beats. And of course, George Young then had a collaboration with Harry Vander, and they produced most of AC/DC's great music up until very recent times. And if you're thinking of sort of a bit of sort of rock and roll royalty and a bit of rock and roll history, well, you can't go past probably the young brothers, if you like, because AC/DC certainly been around a long time and produced some good stuff. But yeah, unfortunately, Malcolm Young passed away, but was buried in, I think, Sydney this week. So that was a bit of a sad news. But AC/DC is still going, and Angus is the sole surviving member now, I think, of the original members. So, and I can remember them back in the early 70s as a pub band, and then sort of mid 70s with Bon Scott, they broke, and that was probably one of my favourite bands was AC/DC.
Now, Darryl, I've got a question for you. This is a question for Ron and Jacob and Aldwin. Do you guys, so them sort of that the was it the guitarist who died at AC/DC?
Yeah, Malcolm. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you guys, so this is mainly for Ron, really. Say someone like that dies, do you rush out and buy their content or their records or whatever straight away, or do you wait?
Well, I wouldn't go out and buy the records and stuff right away if it was something that I really wanted, because more than likely the prices get jacked up and they're not available anyway, right? I mean, look what happened when Chris Cornell died, right?
Yep.
You couldn't find any Soundgarden, and what you did find was priced way over what it usually is, right? So, if it's somebody that passed and I was like, man, I wish I had gotten some of their music, you know what? The music's not going to disappear. It'll still be there in a month or two, right? So, no, I've never gone out and just rushed out and bought music of people that have passed.
Yeah, true. What about you, Jacob? I know you've done it a couple of times, haven't you?
Yes. AC, I got all the AC/DC CDs I wanted.
That's good, man. Good on you.
I think with AC/DC, it'd be like, you know, when way back in the early 80s, when Bon Scott, the original lead singer, died. I mean, everybody rushed out at the time and was buying everything, because no one could perceive that anyone would be able to sing with AC/DC as well as what he did. So, there's a lot of AC/DC stuff around. So I don't think it'll be as massive rush, because Malcolm Young had stopped actually performing with them for a couple of years now, because unfortunately he started to get dementia, and that's what I think ended up killing him. But so he'd stopped actually I think 2014, I think he might have stopped. They announced that he wouldn't be touring with them and doing that because of the fact that they announced he had dementia. But yeah, the ABC had a show on the Easy Beats, and so if you've ever, I mean, again, that's another generation before AC, they're one of the first Australian bands to break big on the world, and of course they had George Young in it, and so that's worth, if you haven't seen the mini series on the ABC, go to, if you're in Australia, go to iView and you can catch up there, because yeah, that really is a history of history of Australian rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely. So, Wolfie, what about you? Are you into AC/DC?
He left the room for a minute.
I'm still here.
But Junior's here.
Junior?
So.
How are you, mate?
Pretty good. When you were talking about...
A little bit.
The people in the band who've died, that kind of reminded me of a conversation I had with my friend, because he listens to some bands that he likes. And he's scared to get into any other band because all the bands he liked, the lead singer has died.
True. Good point. Yeah, but these things happen though. You know, you can't sort of stop it, can you? You can't. You know,
I like AC/DC some. Yeah. I like it sometimes.
Do you have any on vinyl, Woofy?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
No, that's one of those bands that not all the songs are kid appropriate.
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
Understood.
Yep. All right, let's wrap the podcast up. Darryl, any more questions for the guests?
No, look, I think that, I mean, it's sort of, it still sort of blows me away in a way that how you know, I know we've had a number of guests over the year with that on vinyl. How vinyl has taken off again? You know, I'm still,
yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
I'm still sort of, you know, I again, with technology, you think once the technology sort of gets superseded by another technology, you think, well, that's the end of that, except for maybe a few people who cling to it. But interesting how it's, and it's got this and sort of it's grown again, and it's got this niche market of people now who are interested in collecting the old stuff, which at least means the old stuff's preserved, because a lot of those old recordings, you know, some of them never made it to CD and various other things. So it's great that people are looking to also preserve some of these recordings, thinking about some of the old rock and rolling bands and stuff. So it's great.
Yeah, awesome. So Ron, just one more couple more questions. You do some you do art, don't you?
I do a bunch of pinstriping, gold leafing, stuff like that on the side.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff. And what do you sort of paint that on? What sort of equipment do you use for that?
So I use a urethane pinstriping paint done by House of Color. That's the manufacturer of the paint I use. And most of what I paint are stuff like cars, motorcycles. You know, so if you've ever seen pinstriping on motorcycles, it's kind of what I do.
Oh, awesome.
I paint pictures and different kind of stuff, like custom culture type stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. You got custom culture down there in Australia?
I think we might, yes. I think we might, yeah.
So guys that are right into rat rods and hot rods and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I like to do a lot of that lettering and hand painting stuff, you know. And with that, I got an opportunity this last year to help a reissue of that Fear Not album.
Okay.
And I got to do the artwork for that. So Scott Waters, who does a lot of the layouts for Rox Records, had contacted me. I'd become friends with him through the vinyl community, and he had contacted me and asked if I would be willing to redesign their cross that they had on their original album. It's kind of in a tribal, like a 90s tribal design, and they wanted to redo it. So I said, absolutely. So from there, it just kind of snowballed to where I redid their logo for them because they didn't really like the old logo that they had, and redid between me and Scott, we helped lay it out so it looked more metal, because the original album cover looked very hippie psychedelic. It had these flowers on it and stuff, which
was
not metal, right?
Okay.
So that's one of the things I've done towards the vinyl community side with my art. So
that's awesome, Matt. That's awesome, Ron. Good on you. And a quick mention, I just want to give a quick shout out to Dean and Matt and all the other VC members in the YouTube. And who do you have a favorite YouTube VC person, Ron, or do you love them all?
Oh, do I have a favorite? No, I don't have a favorite. You know, there's a lot of guys that I chat with a lot more offline.
Okay.
You know, like Billy Hurst, he's a pretty dear friend of mine. Scott Waters has become a pretty good friend. I chat with Andy Borders sometimes.
Yep, he's cool.
So he's a really great guy. You know, earlier we were talking about secondhand stores, and you were talking about not coming away with some good-looking vinyl, right?
Yeah.
So, and Andy doesn't know this, but the record that I gave him a VCLT, which a lot of us, we send what's called VCLT, Vinyl Community Love Train. Basically, you send a package of records to somebody across the country or out of country, you know, to another country. And then they open up the box of records or tapes or whatever live on video and then show the video of their response. Well, probably about 8 or 9 months ago, I heard Andy talk about a song that was redone by another band that was originally a Celtic Frost song. And he had mentioned, hey, you know, this album's on my grail list if I could afford it. Well, it happened to be that about 2 months prior to that, I picked up that and a couple other albums from Goodwill. And so I put that in the pile to go to him. And so I actually got some old Celtic Frost. And one of the albums I got in that pile was Corrosion of Conformity, Eye for an Eye, which I ended up VCLTing over to Farley, who does Farley's Record Room. Really great guy, too.
Yep.
And so I have gotten some pretty good gems for Goodwill, you know. So
yeah, definitely. I'll have to keep looking.
Yeah, when Andy opened that package up, and you should look up that video that last VCLT I sent him. Dude, he literally cried.
I think I seen it. I think I seen that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he could not believe that somebody would give that to him, you know, and I'm just like, hey, it's sitting on my shelf. It means so much more to somebody else than me, you know? And that's the whole cool thing that I've noticed about the vinyl community is the majority of everybody on there, they have big hearts, and they would rather give these records to people that are really wanting them and will enjoy them than have them sit on their shelf, you know? And even if it's the one and only of something I have, you know, just to see that joy and excitement in somebody's face when they do it, you know, and Farley just did that to me a couple weeks ago. And I pulled out a record and I just could not believe it. It was a first press Megadeth record. And I could not believe he sent it to me because I'd been looking for one and I couldn't afford the ones that I'd seen. Right. So,
yep.
I think we got off on a rabbit trail there.
Definitely. No, that's all good, mate. All good. I'm actually sending Jacob a VCLT, actually, in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, right on. Right on. Sweet.
So I hope Jacob enjoys that. I'm sure he will. He doesn't know what it is, do you, Jacob?
Maybe.
You don't. Anyway. So let's wrap the podcast up. At the end of the podcast, let's get Daryl and Ron and Wolfie and his brother to wrap the podcast up. But before then, Daryl, where can they get hold of you?
They can get hold of me on the Twitters at Learnscape, on Google Plus. I'm Daryl Hunt, plus Daryl Hunt. LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. I'm sort of just type my name and that you'll find me.
All right, awesome. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozen Tech Webcast. Jake, what about you, mate?
You can just find me at JazzBot32669.
Yes. Oh, my God. Is this recording just frozen on me? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, no.
Oh, well, mine's still recording. So.
Oh, okay. So in that case, I'll say where you can get a hold of me.
Yes, Aldwin, yep.
You can get a hold of me. Just Google Aldwin Altenay or Media Queen. You'll find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google+, and YouTube. I have my YouTube show and also my website, aaxpose.com. I would love to connect with anyone out there. Love to hear your feedback too. If you're listening to this, thank you so much to all our loyal listeners every week. And if you're listening, I would love your feedback. So connect with us on Facebook or elsewhere, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. And the lovely dulcet tones of the piano in the background. It was very, very nice.
Yes.
I like that sort of. I love a piano in the background there.
So nice.
Very nice.
I've been muting myself. So tonight,
no, it's fine. I like it. I like the piano. I've always been a big fan of the Ivories.
Yes, definitely. At Swissotel here in Sydney.
Ah.
All right, let's go to who else we need to ask? That's it.
Ron, how can we get hold of you?
Ron, how can we get hold of you, mate?
What's that? Is that me?
Yeah. How can we get hold of you?
So people want to get hold of me, like you said, they can find me on YouTube at Ronnie's Record Room or I'm on Facebook at either Ronald E. Wall or Ronald Wall. I'm also on Instagram. If you want to look at my artwork and stuff, I'm on Instagram at Off the Wall Creations, and that's Creations with a K. So they can find me on Instagram there at Off the Wall Creations or Facebook at Ronald Wall.
Awesome.
I'm connecting with you now, Ron.
Cool.
Connecting with you. So awesome.
All right. So let's get Jacob. Did we ask you?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes, we did.
Okay, we did. Okay, so let's get Daryl and Ron and Wolfie and his brother to wrap the podcast up. Far away, guys. Go ahead. I'm out of here.
See you, bro.
Thanks.
Bye.
For
see you guys.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for watching Tech Go Webcast.
Hey, play the outro, Daryl.
Oh, I haven't got the outro connected. Sorry.
hang on.
Come on.
I'll just keep
on.
Playing this background music here.
Yeah, jump on the piano, Aldrin, and play us out. Yeah.
Right. Here's the outro, guys. Thanks, Ron. Yep. Thanks, everyone, for being on the podcast.
All right.
Yep.
Later.
Peace, guys. Peace out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5. A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.